is time for Firearm Friday, a podcast dedicated to bringing together the firearm industry and community. Now, here's your host from the great state of Texas, the tactical leprechaun himself, Chris Dover.
Happy Friday, crew. I am Chris Dover, and welcome to the show. Today, we're going to talk about optics with Mark Davis from Axion Optic Solutions. But before we get to that, I'd like to take a minute to tell everybody out there about GunStreamer. GunStreamer is a pro firearm lifestyle, pro Second Amendment video hosting platform. And we post our stuff from the CloverTac channel over there, including these Firearm Friday podcasts. So jump on over there and check it out today. That is www.gunstreamer.com. All right, we've got Mark in the house from Axion Optics Solutions. How are you today, Mark?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. I asked you on, and first of all, I appreciate you being on today, because not just for the listeners out there, but for my own curiosity. Black Friday, I had a chance to play with one of the products. It was one of the red dots. I believe it was the 3X. Help me with the model, 3XRDS, I believe it was.
3XRDS, yes, sir.
Had a chance to play with that. Really liked that little thing. I enjoyed it, and I'd never heard of the company, so obviously when I got in from the local gun shop, which was having the Black Friday event there, looked you guys up, and several things immediately caught my eye. The Absolute Zero and the Second Zero products, I think, that you guys offer.
That's true. Yeah, those are two unique products though on the market.
Very, sure. Very cool, and I definitely want to talk about those. But first, let's kind of let you introduce yourself a little bit. What you do with the company, a little bit of your backstory, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure. I run the social media pages for Axion Optics. Axion is a subsidiary or a division of Umarex USA. So there's a lot going on here within us. And so we're just, the Axion is a division of the company. So I manage the social media pages for Umarex and Axion. Got into this, actually a former teacher, a reformed English teacher, and went to work here. Wanted to change of pace, a little bit different environment, and I liked hunting and the outdoors and guns, and this was the perfect fit for me. So I've really enjoyed working here during that time.
Now, did you have to relocate for this job, or were you already kind of in the area?
Yeah, I was right in the area. I was fortunate enough. Nice. When Umarex relocated, they were. When they first came into the United States or was formed in the United States, they were in New Jersey. One of the people that was involved in that said, you know what, we're going to do this. We're going to do it in Arkansas. And this was about 2004, somewhere in there. And they created Umarex USA, moved it to Fort Smith, Arkansas, and began to import the air gun products. And when I say air gun products, we're talking everything from BB gun powered by CO2 to high pressure air guns that are used in Olympic competitions.
Wow.
And a few other things in between. So they moved here, and of course the whole goal of the company was to expand and to get into some different markets all along. And so that's one of the big things. We've been growing ever since that they've relocated into Fort Smith. We've grown quite a bit. Got products in different categories now that we didn't have them in before, and the one that we're talking about here today, Axion Optics, is definitely one of those.
Okay, so you handle the marketing for the entirety of Umarex. Is what you're saying?
Well, the social media. I don't do the marketing.
Or the social media, right? Social media. Yeah, I don't know what I'm thinking there. Yeah, right. Yeah. Just the social.
Well, I run into my former students sometimes, and I tell them, "Well, your old English teacher used to play on Facebook all day long," and of course, it's a little bit more to it than that.
Right? Yeah, a lot of people don't realize the whole social media game and what all it entails. That's for sure. That's interesting. Now, how long has Axion been around? How long has it been apart? Was it a separate company before Umarex, or was it a division that Umarex created?
This was a division that Umarex created. we started kicking this around probably about 4 years ago, and it was more or less at the behest of a product idea, and that would have been the Absolute Zero, which you mentioned there earlier. And that was the first product we released under the Axion name. What the Absolute Zero is, it's a laser-assisted sighting in device. You know, when you're shooting a rifle, getting it trying to zero in, a lot of folks, you know, you can play hunt around on the target and walk it in, and you end up burning a box of shells, sometimes even more than that. Matter of fact, last year I watched a guy with a 6.5 Creedmoor. He had two boxes of shells, about $60 worth of ammo, and he burned it all and never zeroed the gun in.
Yeah, and it's especially worse if you have, you know, let's say you have a loose mount or a loose scope ring, or, you know, got something weird going on. You can run through box after box and not realize it.
Exactly. All right, so what the Absolute Zero does is it allows you to, I guess, get scientific about it. You're making sure that you're being consistent in holding the gun. But what the device is doing is shooting two lasers that are more or less parallel down toward your target. And on the target, you have a special sticker that has graduated measurements on it, little boxes. And so you put the two lasers in those boxes. You make your first shot. And from that point, you move your reticle by your windage and elevation adjustments so that your reticle covers that hole from your first shot. At that point, of course, you'd set it a certain distance. It's 25 yards. Now, you're not going to want to hunt it with a 25-yard zero, so you're going to have to make an adjustment on your elevation to get that corrected. But more or less, that gets you on paper with one shot. You know exactly where that second shot's going to lie. So you make your second shot. You should either thread the needle and punch a hole right through that one or be very, very close to it. And so that allows you to get your gun zeroed in. You know exactly where you are, and then within just a few little clicks, you can change that 25 yard zero to 100 yard zero or 200 yard zero, however you typically go.
With the two laser setup design, and I was reading about that, the first thing that came to my mind was that sort of helps with leveling and cant a little bit. Was what do you know the actual reasoning behind going with that two laser design as opposed to a standard, you know, laser bore sighter?
The two lasers, it keeps the gun in the same position. That's the more important thing. It's your scope. You're going to have to get that it leveled up, you know, on your own. But what this does, it allows you to return the rifle to the same position that you had it for the first shot on your second shot.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, it sounds interesting. Now, how does it looks like it? Does it attach to the barrel or is it a rail mount? I had some trouble kind of deciphering exactly how you mount that thing up. How does it mount on the firearm?
Sure. There's two ways that you can mount it. You can mount it onto the tube of your scope. If you've got enough space on the tube, there's a clamp that we've actually redesigned it to make it a lot easier to work with. It's going to be a kind of a quick release sort of deal. It just tightens down with like a wing nut now as opposed to scope screws like we had it before. But you can mount it there. And it doesn't matter if you've got it horizontal to the ground, if you've got it vertical to the ground. The position of the device doesn't matter. As long as the two lasers are pointing in the same two boxes on the target that you had it set up before, that's fine. And then the second way of mounting it is it can attach to a Picatinny rail. So we've got a pick-to-pick adapter in the kit so that you can, if you got a piece of rail, whether it's, like I said, horizontal, underneath, above, wherever that piece of rail is, it'll mount the device there firmly.
Wow. Okay. That, that's pretty cool. So you can pretty much use that for just about anything then.
Yeah. If you're going to mount an optic on something, you can use it on that. And, I've used it on a turkey gun, a shotgun, where we had a kind of wasn't really a turkey scope on it, but put it on there, worked fine. And with some guns, you know, something like a shotgun, you know, you might want to zero it a little closer. Like for turkey, 25 yards is, you know, a little close, but it's pretty close. So you could do it fine with that. Air guns, you could use it with an air gun. A lot of guys with that shoot rimfire or air guns will zero in a scope at 25 yards to start off or something like that. That it worked just fine like that. But then, you know, but for most people that hunt, do use a 100-yard zero or a 200-yard zero, you're going to have to make that adjustment after that. But it's still yet, you know, when you're talking about walking in 12, 20, 30 rounds of ammo versus two or three shots, mm-hmm. you know, that time and frustration is saved is considerable.
Yeah, and if you zero at 25, in this, it's going to hold pretty much any caliber that's out there. If you zero at 25, you're pretty much going to be on a paper target at 100, and then if you zero that, you're going to be on a paper target at 200, and so forth and so on. So,
yeah,
it's that graduation, I think, that saves you the ammunition for sure. Now with the second zero, I've read and I've looked, and for the life of me, just call me a redneck, I guess. I don't understand the second zero. So,
okay.
Tell us a little bit about that, if you would.
All right. So, the story on the second zero, I've got to go back to another company and a man by the name of John Baker. Now, John Baker's company is called TACOM HQ. John Baker's a very, very smart guy. He was an optical engineer by trade. And knowing how optics work, he basically applied the principle of how a prism will bend light to use it as an optical solution to gain minutes of angle while shooting. Now, his most famous examples of this is when you're talking on a really large scale, extreme long-range shooting. Those guys will make or have made for them special scope bases that are several dozens of minutes of angle canted so that they can gain that much more range on their shot. This becomes cumbersome after a while because you get your scope pointing in the rear way up in the air, so your head's got to be raised that much higher, so it creates some problems for a shooter. What he did was take that principle and say, we're going to bend the light going into the scope rather than bend the shooter's neck. And so what he did with that device is, he calls it his Charlie Tarac, T-A-R-A-C, Charlie. And it bends the light by whatever minute of angle or mil rate that shooter needs. All right, so that kind of tells you about his way of thinking. He's thinking long-range shooters, but you can also work this backwards to more practical distances for other shooters. He came up with a smaller degree, a fixed unit that he called the Alpha. The Alpha unit can be made to any fixed minute of angle that you want to use. Now, the purpose of that is that you can instantly go from, say, you got a gun zeroed in at 100 yards, you can instantly go to 500 yards. You can go to 300 yards. He can build you one custom that can go to 1,000 yards. What it's doing, how the device works is, you know, like if you stick a straw into a bottle of water or a glass of water, and you look through it, you notice how the straw is bent. Well, it's not bent. It's just the way that the light is coming through there is making it look to your eye. The way that the second zero works is that it's bending the light before it goes into your scope at a certain minute of angle, so that instead of having to make a holdover correction through your scope, it's essentially doing it for you before it even gets there. So you can see where I'm going with this. Like on his Charlie unit, he was taking, you know, say like 100 minutes of angle, which when you get out to 1,500 yards, 2,000 yards, that's a great deal of correction at that length or that distance. But what we're doing here with this product here, the second zero, is we're taking a very practical and usable minute of angle correction. We've got two versions. We've got 4.3 minutes of angle and 11.5 minutes of angle. The 11.5 minute of angle will correct to about 550, 520 yards, depending on what caliber you're shooting. Some rounds shoot a little flatter than others, so it's going to stretch out just a little bit longer. But what it's going to do is it's going to put you in the kill zone from your standard 100 yard zero at 500 yards. The 4.3 minute of angle version is going to do the same thing. It's going to take your 100 yard zero and put you in the kill zone at around 330 yards. And like I said, some rounds shoot a little flatter than others, so you may have some that's going to be 310. You're going to have some that's going to run up to about 360, 375. Now, I've been playing around with this myself on a 4570. And in 4570, you know, drops like a rock. Once you get out past 100 yards or so, it really starts to, you know, if you got 100 yard zero, it's really going to start to lose some altitude.
Sure.
There. And what I've been using the 4.3 minute of angle version, and roughly between 100 and 150 yards, you're going to lose about 7 inches, plus or minus. And with that 4.3 minute of angle version on that, that works out to within about an inch of where my drop is at 150 yards. So instead of, you know, having to worry about Kentucky windage, you know, 7 inches is off of the deer at 150 yards. You know, if I'm having to make a 7 inch holdover on that, that, you know, that's the difference between going home with some backstrap or not, you know.
Absolutely.
So if I can get back up there to where I'm within that kill zone, you know, that's kind of the whole game plan there. And of course there's a lot of guys that shoot pistol caliber carbines, people who shoot something like 300 AC that has a lot of drop to it once it gets out there to a distance, or even switching back and forth between subsonic and supersonic. You could take the second zero and, you know, have a supersonic, have your scope zeroed in for your subsonic, engage the second zero, and then you're zeroed in again for your subsonic without having to change your scope at all.
So the what you're saying is that second zero, from what I'm looking at here, works kind of like a lens cover or something, right? It just, you can flip it up and down.
There's two versions. One of them that mounts right directly on the scope, and then another version that mounts on the rail in front of the scope. And it doesn't matter where, you know, you could put it somewhere between the muzzle and then your scope.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't matter where it is, because the light's coming in the same way.
Okay, I got you. I was looking at the two pieces there, and I was assuming incorrectly, apparently, that was one unit. Both pieces made up the one unit. So you're saying that's two different mounting designs, basically.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Now, the one that mounts on the scope itself, is it fairly universal?
Yes. There's going to be a version that fits 40 to 44 millimeter objective lens scopes. So you're going to have some room to play around there. They'll fit a multitude of scopes in that model. And then there's a larger version that for the folks that shoot a 50 millimeter bell. And so it'll mount directly onto that 50 millimeter bell.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting, because that could, looks like all of that's fairly quick connect, fairly quick on, quick off, right?
That's correct, yeah. It doesn't take very long to install either version of this.
So you could do, you know, if you had two rifles and two different applications for it, you could quickly move that around, I guess, if you needed to, whereas...
That's correct. And the way that, keep in mind, you know, we're dealing with minutes of angle, so the device itself doesn't care what it is mounted on. You know, 4.3 minutes of angle is 4.3 minutes of angle, you know, wherever you are. So it doesn't matter what you put it on.
Right. Yeah, I'm just thinking that somebody that was, let's say, hunting, you know, had their whitetail rig, may not be the same rifle as, let's say, their ram rig they hunt ram with or something. So, you know, they could still use it. They would have to, of course, dial that in. The trajectory and everything else is going to be different, of course, but yeah, they could in essence still swap that around.
That'd be
beneficial. Now, you mentioned trying it out on the 4570. I guess that speaks to the quality a little bit. I guess it holds up pretty well if you're.
Oh yeah, they're pretty tough, and that's one of the things that they wanted to make sure that it could stand shock. So yeah, we definitely tested them on for shock, make sure everything stays together like it's supposed to.
Great. Very cool. Now, are there any other products? Well, let's get into, I guess, this. I was looking at the shot light, but that's just too cool for school. I'm not necessarily a weapons mounted light kind of guy, but that's pretty neat. So, what can you tell us about that one?
Yeah, that one, and I'm kind of the same school as you. I'm not a really big weapons mounted light kind of person, but one of the appeals to this on a shotgun is that you're not getting something that's hanging down in your way.
Right, very low profile.
It's not making the gun any wider. It's not making the gun any longer. It's very conveniently located there on some real estate that is usually never used on a shotgun. And so what this does, it's the shot light, what it is, it replaces the magazine cap on a tube of a shotgun. And what these, it fits three specific models: your Mossberg 500, your Remington 870, and your Winchester SXP guns. And so you just take your magazine cap off. You're going to replace it with the adapter that comes with it. So each light comes with the adapter for each one of those guns. So you don't have to buy, you don't have to watch your part number to get the right kit. Each kit has the three adapters in it.
Wow. So one light, so one light, and you could use it on three different shotguns. That's what you're saying.
That's correct.
Nice.
Yeah. And so you just install that on there, install the light on there. The way the light's set up, if you wanted the on-off button on the right side of the gun, you just orient it and snug things down accordingly. If you want it on the bottom, same thing. You can put the switch to the light wherever you want it, right where you can access it. Just do a little practice with it. Make sure that, you know, get up there and hit it with your thumb if that's the way you want to hit it. And then all of a sudden, you know, you got your hand back on your forearm and you're ready to go. But it gives a bright light. It's about 120 lumens within shotgun distance. It's about perfect. It's bright. It gives a wide enough beam that you can see everything that you need to see in front of you. But it's just really a truly, truly interesting concept.
Now, does the light itself separate at all from the cap portion?
Yes, it does. Now it locks down with set screws, but you can, if you need to change the battery out, it's just a matter of taking the set screws, loosening the set screws off, and then you can unscrew the light portion, change your battery out, and reinstall everything.
Okay, yeah, that was my curiosity, was with battery changes. With
Now we've also,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we've also, we're going to make an addition to that this year. We've got a partner, a cousin, I guess, to that particular product. It's called the Shot Line. Now, what the Shot Line is a laser version of the same setup. Once again, the same three shotguns, the Mossberg 500, Remington 870, and the Winchester SXPs. Use the same adapters on those, but instead of a flashlight, you're going to get a laser, a red colored laser that mounts on the end of the shotgun. And so for home defense or whatever, tactical, you've got a laser aiming aid there now to add to that. Now, you can't work in conjunction with the shot light. It's a totally separate, you know, thing. It's a one or the other sort of thing. But we're adding that to our lineup this year, and we're very excited about that.
Right. Now, with the shot light, I'm reading here, and I don't, you know, I may be overlooking it because, again, dealing with a redneck. But is it, does it have a momentary switch as well as on-off, or is it just on-off?
No, it's just on off.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, that's I really, you know, like I said, not a fan of the weapons mounted light, but if you're gonna have one on a shotgun, I do like that setup. I mean, it's minimalist for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, moving on, I guess we'll get into, you know, something that caught my eye looking at the again, we were talking about the I can't remember. What was that one? The 3X RDS. Yeah, that I was.
Yeah, the dot sight. Yes.
That I had a little hit a little fun with and got to looking. And you also make that R47 Flex, which is a reflex sight that is a popular design. You see a lot of those. Is there a difference, and what is the difference between that and some of the other branded ones out there that are similar to that R47?
To be honest with you, it's a product that is similar to a lot of the other lights or reflex sights that are out there. This does give you four reticle options. So, you know, depending on what you prefer, what you're mounting it on. If you're putting it on a shotgun, you know, you've got a circle option that might be really handy for that. And you got several various brightness settings that allow it to perform in various conditions of lighting really well. It does co-witness with on a modern sporting rifle. If you've got A2 sights on it, it'll co-witness with those.
Oh,
if
you've
got the Magpul M-Bus sights, it'll co-witness with those.
Yeah, some of the cheap knockoff ones won't do that.
The mount is not high enough. I checked it myself. And it's like, yeah, this is really good for that. So you don't have to use a riser, spacer, or anything like that. It'll co-witness it.
Very nice. Now, the main difference, as far as looking at the specs here, I think, between that 3X RDS and that R47 looks like ruggedness. Looks like that 3D RS. Of course, it's a little bigger, a little heavier, but it's also waterproof, fogproof, all that good stuff. And the blue color in the 3X RDS is what I thought was cool. I'd never seen that before.
You get eyes of all sorts, you know, in different lighting conditions, you know, so that when we included that light choice there, you know, red, green, or blue, it was just to ensure that, you know, whatever your condition of your eyes is, you're going to be able to get a bead on your bead, so to speak, and see what you're needing to see there and hit it accordingly.
Now with, see what else? What other products do we have? We have here that we haven't covered yet. We've covered a lot of, except for the scopes, and we'll definitely want to hit on those. The monocular. Let's talk about it, I guess, for just a few minutes, since we've got plenty of time here. The monocular I thought was kind of neat. I've never seen another monocular that's had. You've got cheap night vision ones and all kinds of other stuff, but I've never seen one that had a built-in light. So that's kind of a cool thing, especially for, you know, if you're hunting at night, if you do varmint hunting and maybe even hunt pigs or things like that. I think that could definitely come in handy, save you from having to try to point a light in the direction you're trying to spot and use two hands.
Yeah,
all that crazy stuff. So.
Yeah, there's definitely a thousand uses for something like this, and my mind, it always goes to, you know, something to have, you know, you go camping or something like that, you never know when you're going to need something that's, you know, or, you know, like you said, hunting situations, you're going to need some magnification, you want to look at something a long ways off. And my problem is that, you know, it's so easy to walk out of the house without a flashlight. You know, this, if you can put this in your day pack, you know, if you go out hiking, whatever, you can, you know, take a look at stuff down the trail, across the valley, that sort of thing. You know, we've got a few elk here in Arkansas, and that's one of the things that's, you know, if you get a chance to go up into the Buffalo River Valley, you can, you know, watch elk, and something like that would be great to take with you. But, you know, also getting off in the trail at night or getting to your tree stand, having a good light with you too is you just got to have one, you know, because it's, otherwise you're running some safety risks there. But yeah, this light, it's got a 250 lumen light, so it's plenty bright enough. It'll reach out, it's focusable, so it'll reach out there as, you know, 100 yards easily. You know, you can see very well at 100 yards. It's probably 150 yards is probably pretty good too. But you got 8 power magnification on the monocular. And you got the light, so you can use them together, use them separately, it doesn't matter. But it's small enough you can just throw in your day pack and keep it with you, keep it in your glove box of your truck.
Right.
It's definitely a cool item.
And it looks like the price point is on par, actually, with a lot of the different, a lot of different LED flashlights that are out there. So you're talking about, with the package design and everything, you could spend the same amount of money as just a flashlight and then have that monocular to go with it, so to speak. So,
this is true. Yeah, it's priced pretty competitively with a lot of LED flashlights, for sure.
And I'm a big fan. You know, a lot of people, they scan, if they're hunting, or, especially, like I said, at night, varmint hunting and a lot of different things like that, they'll scan with their scope. And
yeah.
I'm not a big fan of that. I really like monoculars, and even if it be at, night vision or thermal or whatever it might be, or spotting scopes even on the range, I'd much rather use something like that than run the risk of flagging something I didn't intend on flagging with a muzzle, with a loaded firearm. That's never a good thing.
Yeah, every year you see that headline and you dread it. Every hunting season, a hunter shot, somebody's, this year, the big one, there was a horse that was killed, and every year there's people that are shot or killed by somebody, scanning the woods with their rifle scope. And this is definitely a good tool to keep with you to keep that from happening. And that's, and like I said, you said it best there. You just can't scan the woods with your rifle. You got to have something else, be confident in what you're looking at. And this is a good way to do that with that device, for sure.
Right. Now let's dive into these rifle scopes, I guess, and talk about them a little bit. I noticed it looks like y'all have three different flavors there. The 2-7 32, the 3-9 40, which is a very popular model there, the 4-12 40. I do notice that you just have the Plex reticle. Are there any plans later on to expand the line on that to include different reticles?
This is just our initial offering of scopes. We actually released the scopes a little over a year ago. And so we just, got just standard scopes in there. But what we wanted to make sure that we did with these scopes was to offer the consumer the best bang for the buck that we could possibly give them. One of the things that we decided that we wanted these scopes to be light, very light, so it's not, you're not adding a lot of weight to your gun when you put this scope on there. We also wanted them to be very tough, and so we've done some testing on it and got some feedback from the independent labs that we use that our scopes were as tough as any that are out there. Especially, within the price range of about three times the price for what we were going to offer these at. And so I had a little fun with this. I don't know if you were poking around on our website and you found the Project Rented Mule page. But what I did last fall, I guess I took this scope about October. And I said, if these folks are telling me that this scope's tough, I'm going to find out how tough it is. And being the social media guy, I was like, all right, we're just going to put it out there on Facebook and Instagram and see where it'll go and just be honest with folks. And so I took that scope and immediately I tossed the dust covers. Each one of these scopes, they come with a set of flip-up lens caps on them. So I took those and I just tossed them back in the box and set the box aside and found a set of rings that I liked, and I figured, well, I better get some quick release, and so I put some quick release rings on it, and I just left the scope outside. So in the fall, I'd mount it on the rifle, zeroed in, put it on another rifle, shoot, zeroed in, but then at the end of the day, I would just take it off the rifle and throw it into the woods next to my house. And when I say throw it, I literally mean I would throw it. I'd bounce it off the trees, whatever, yeah. And last winter, we actually had several days where it got, for Arkansas, it got a little chilly.
Right.
We had some 0-degree days on the calendar, and I had a pan out by my house. I was like, let's fill that thing up with water and let it freeze. So I froze it in water.
Wow. Okay.
And so I've got on our Instagram and Facebook, we had a little clip of the video where I, had it frozen in the water, had the pictures in there, and then I drove it to work that day, and I was like, well, I need to shoot this thing and take a look at it and see if it's going to work and everything. So I busted it out of the pan on our parking lot. So I'm here and banging the pan on the parking lot on blacktop. And there was ice, of course, froze all to it, and busted the ice off like it, you know, like the I was holding a handle of a hammer, you know, I was just banging the scope and the ice onto the ground there. Took it in, tested it at a range. It was holding zero. It was tracking fine. Very I was nice. Like, okay, well, we're still going with this. And kept on, you know, and I never did bring the scope. You know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks out of that whole winter, you know, the scope was inside of a house or inside of a building. I kept on doing this stuff to it, and you know, would shoot it on a 4570 on the 223 on whatever else we could put it on, and it was still working fine. And so one of my hobbies, I do a little bit of dirt bike riding, and a kid that I knew, he raced, and I knew his, him and his father really well, and he said, hey, let's put it on his dirt bike. Let's put it on JoJo's dirt bike and let him run a race with it. Well, they did that. They tied it onto the fork of the dirt bike.
Oh, wow.
So that's he's getting all the direct hit off of this thing. Well, I think they used zip ties, and the zip ties busted pretty quick. And so the scope actually fell off on the dirt racetrack. And this is an enduro race rather than a motocross race. So this is out in the middle of the woods, and wherever they found it, I don't know. But several bikes had run over the scope at this point. Of course, I get it back. I'm just like, oh, my gosh, this is going to be bad. Because
right.
the bell was bent in on it. And,
wow.
Of course, you know, there's just all sorts of abrasions and stuff on it. And put it back on the rifle, zeroed it in, and it was holding zero. It was tracking still.
Wow.
And, yeah. And so, you know, long story short, you know, the whole point of that is, yes, the scope did prove out to be as tough or tougher than what I actually ever expected it to be. So I had a lot of fun with that little project, and I've taken a couple of other scopes. I haven't done that same sort of testing with it, but I've got a couple other scopes that I'm using, and you know, that's kind of the same mind is that, you know, I've got peace of mind, you know, from my own experience. I've tested the scope and it's done great, and so I have peace of mind about it. One of the other things to it, you know, of course, the best warranty is the one that you'll never need. And so that old scope, that old 2x7 that I was using, I don't need to use the warranty on it, but because it's still working just fine. But if I did, it's got a lifetime warranty on it. So, you know, that's, you know, peace of mind is both, you know, the testimony of the actual use of something, and then, you know, having a company that's going to stand behind the product. And that's one of the things that we set out to do as well.
So you don't advise free jumping off the mountain while you're hunting, but if you do, the scope will likely hold up. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, free jumping off the side of the mountain, at least not with the rifle. Not a good idea.
The rifle might not make it, but the scope will, and you might not make it,
yeah.
But the scope will. So that'll
for sure.
Well, that's good to hear, and yeah, I'm definitely interested in seeing. You know, see this being the kind of the starter series for you guys, seeing what, you know,
that's
what
right.
comes
and,
out
and we
in,
do
what
intend
comes out
to
in the
grow
future.
The line. We had some prototypes in, and we actually had them on our website for a while, but we decided that we were going to slow that stuff down and work on some of our other items. But we do intend on expanding into sort of a tactical series of scopes, and then beyond that, hopefully a long-range hunting, long-range target series of scopes as well.
Yeah, and that's
and some different reticle options.
I like being able. I go from supersonic to subsonic a lot, and then from different grains, just depending on what. Do a lot of varmint, you know, hunting things like that, and depending on ranges and what I'm hunting and that sort of stuff. Yeah, having those hash marks or mil dots or something like that for me is really handy. That's what I'm used to. Maybe a lot of your old school hunters, you know, they can hold over with a regular plex reticle and do fine. But I guess I kind of cut my teeth on the mil dots, and you know, we like what we're familiar with, right?
Yeah, for sure, and. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, something like the second zero, there's going to be a group of people that they have no place for it in their arsenal, and that's fine. We understand that. But there's also going to be, you know, somebody like, you know, they're taking somebody out shooting for the first time or something like that, and they want to show them something really cool. And somebody that's anticipating shooting, you know, they've never shot further than 50 yards or 100 yards before. And they say, you can do this. And I'm going to give you the confidence to do this. You know, you can take that second zero and just say, just hold your reticle right on the target. And they can go ahead and engage the target and make contact just like they would if they'd been shooting for 20 years and you know, learned how to read the mills and apply that correctly on their scope. So that's, you know, it's, there's people that's going to work for them. There's people that's not. For me, what I was thinking of when I'm, especially, you know, I like clever guns and I've got my 4570 and the scope that I was wanting to put on my 4570 was an old Weaver 4-power. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, it's just a fine reticle on it. And, you know, something like that second zero, you know, would be perfect for adding a little bit of distance to my shot there without having to do any mental calculations.
Right. Exactly. All right. Well, Mark, I do appreciate you coming on. It's been quite the education on the products there from Axion. If you would, though, before we get out of here, if folks want to learn more, how do they look up Axion?
Okay. Our website is www.axionoptics.com, and that is AxionOptics, axionoptics.com. You know, that's probably the easiest way to find us there. Of course, we're on Facebook as well. Just search Axion Optics or hashtag Project Rented Mule, either on Facebook or Instagram. Be also a good way to get in touch with us there.
That will do it. Again, thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Thank you for joining in on another Firearm Friday. Don't forget to log on to clovertac.com. There you will find our social media links, the blog, cool swag, and more. If you'd like to help support our projects and take advantage of some extra perks, you can do so over on Patreon at patreon.com/clovertac. Have a great weekend.